every Arizona homeowner's best friend for 30 years.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House.
Good morning, y'all. Beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Your Saturday morning tradition. For 30 years, every homeowner's happy place. We have got a great show lined up for y'all today, as we always do every Saturday morning. It's what we work at all week long. It's trying to bring y'all the most entertaining, informational, educational show possible for your weekend wake-up call. In the month of May, we've been talking about garages all month long. What that overhead garage door should do for you, what it should look like, how it should operate, how you cool the garage. You don't have to live with a 140-degree garage anymore. You can live with an 80-degree garage. I'm at Sanderson Ford this morning. There's more than a couple vehicles here. I'm going to beg Jennifer to let me come home and put in my garage. Wow, did you see that 5.0 GT Silver Mustang at the front door?
I saw you drooling over there.
Yeah. Can you go put my name on it, please? Yeah, the 150s are gorgeous. Almost makes me tempted to trade in the Raptor, but I'm not going to do it. I love my Raptor. We're here, and it is their Memorial Day weekend, and more cars are sold on Memorial Day weekend than any weekend in the world. And Sanderson sells more cars in May than the entire month of the year. But you know what? Memorial Day weekend, they're closed Sunday and Monday. They're always closed on Sunday, so the employees can spend time with their family in time of worship. And Monday, they'll be closed to honor the fallen, what Memorial Day is supposed to be about. So that's the kind of service, that's the kind of attention to detail, that's the kind of community involvement you've got from Sanderson Ford, celebrating their 63rd anniversary. It's the biggest sale they've ever had. Come on out. We're here all morning long. We've got a water drive going on with the Salvation Army. If you come, bring a flat of water, and we'll appreciate you and thank you for that. We'll give you tickets to Wet and Wild, half-price tickets, two-for-one tickets at Wet and Wild. So come on down to Sanderson Ford, shake my hand, introduce yourself. Let me show you to a car or two, get you collect a flat of water from you, and we'll be all set. We will be talking garages a little bit later today, and particularly about getting them stored. We've talked about getting the door fixed. We've talked about getting them cooled. We've talked about finishing the floor. Now we got to get organized so it doesn't turn back into a storage closet and it remains truly a functional garage. 8 o'clock, we've got arborists coming in talking about trees, as we always do. That'll be a good story. We were in Happy Jack, Arizona yesterday, and a lot of sad tree stories up there, 11,000 acres of burned ponderosa pines. And I tell you what, the homeowners I met up there whose homes we walked over, literally just a lot of silver and black ash and charcoal. And their spirits and their smiles and their take of the whole thing just gave me energy for all next week. I just couldn't believe how positive they were. And I have to tell you, I'm not sure I'd have taken it that well, knowing that 11,000 acres, those 32 homes burned to the ground, and those 40-plus other structures that were destroyed were all the result of an illegal campfire not properly extinguished. Mm. I would still have a little burr under my saddle about that. But they did not. So Sonia and Larry and Mark and Bob, those all of you that I met up there, it was just your spirits truly lifted me for the entire week. All right, let's swing around and dial in and focus here on the 7 o'clock hour. As you all know, it is our people, places, and things of Arizona. Well, we have got a place to talk about. Jennifer, you've posted a couple photographs on Facebook.
I have. Right there this morning, about 5 minutes ago, family pictures of being at...
Did we ever decide what year that was?
It was 1998.
1998. It's Castle Hot Springs. It's northwest of Lake Pleasant, down a 20-mile dirt road, and it was originally built in the 1800s. And the owner at that time opened the, it was closed to the public, and they opened it up to us for a family reunion. We went out there for a day and absolutely had a blast. Well, I don't know that you've heard, but Castle Hot Springs is being reborn. So we've brought the director of marketing for Castle Hot Springs, Mr. Steve Sampson, in this morning to talk to y'all this morning about one of the most historic, storied properties in the entire state of Arizona. Steve, thanks a million for coming in.
Rosie, Jennifer, thanks for having me.
Oh, man, now how did you get this gig?
Our company, West Rock Hospitality, we own and operate the Hotel Valley-Ho. We rebuilt Mountain Shadows. We also operate the Sanctuary Camelback Mountain. And we're a local company, so you could say that this is what we do. We restore iconic, great historic hotels. And
I'm not sure
if Castle Hot Springs was a coincidence or not, but it fits the mantra of what we do.
It sure does. The story of the hotel dates back to...
Well, it dates back way before it was built in 1896. I mean, for centuries, unmeasurable amounts of times, it was a medicinal healing ground for Native American tribes, particularly Yavapai and Tonto Apache Indians. In October of 1867, a band of robbers raided a mining camp south of Prescott, which was the territorial headquarters. We weren't even a state then. A group of cavalry officers from Fort Whipple gave chase through the Bradshaw Mountains and caught him a day later right at the Hot Springs. They went back, and word of mouth happened, and a wealthy land developer, a guy named Frank Murphy, who at the time owned the Congress Mine, which was the most heavily produced mine in Arizona, he ended up buying it and building it as a luxury resort. And it opened in 1896, and throughout the early 20th century, mid-20th century, it was the Arizona Biltmore. It was the Sanctuary Camelback Mountain. It was one of the more desirable resort destinations in the world.
Not easy to get to.
Well, especially back
then.
I mean,
you had to work to get there.
Well, it's call it a little difficult now, because when you go up to Lake Pleasant, you go 5 miles of paved road, and you're on dirt road for 7 miles. But back then, Lake Pleasant didn't open until 1924 in the Waddell Dam. Back then, you would take a train for days across country. You'd get into Wickenburg and Morristown. You would get off, and you would get on a stagecoach. And the stagecoach would take 5 hours through the mountains to finally get to Castle Hot Springs. So for a lot of people, they were traveling days by train and horses just to get to this destination.
That's incredible. And the list of celebrities we'll get to later, and dignitaries and you know, global names that everybody will recognize, the amount of people that would make the trek to get there. And it was really the medicinal qualities of the water is what drew people there. I guess the solitude as well.
You know, you look at a lot of hot springs around the world, and they're medicinal, and they've got high contents of sulfur, high contents of lithium. This particular hot springs is very light in those mineral contents, and it's very medicinal. It comes out of the ground at 120 degrees and has been for years. I mean, it's a 10,000 foot deep cistern in the ground. So it's over 2 miles deep.
Wow.
This thermal fissure, but it doesn't have the sulfur and it doesn't have the lithium. So you could actually take your water cup and go up to this hot springs, pour it under there, let it cool. And then you could just drink it as is. And we plan on doing that. We're going to be bottling the Castle Hot Springs water. It's going to be in the room for guests. And as I've shared with you, too, one of the big stories that we have is that we are building the Castle Hot Springs Brewery on property. We're going to be making our own beer, and we're going to be calling it Lithium Lager, as well as some IPAs. But that water is going to make this pure beer that we're going to have.
Now, that's a hoot. So y'all ended up with the property when?
In 2016, you know, if you look at the history of this property, it was owned a number of different owners. The original owner, Murphy, had it probably for about 30 years until he passed away.
And he was governor?
His brother. Or
the family of the governor.
Well, you always wonder about that story. You know, I haven't peeled back the layer of the onion quite much on that, but this guy Murphy was very well-to-do, and he bought all that land as well as a lot of other land around there. It was a territory, not a state, so he had his brother, Warren Oates Murphy, installed as governor. McKinley installed him as governor, and in 1898, Murphy, the governor, relocated the territorial headquarters from Prescott to Castle Hot Springs during the winter months. So he would set up offices.
There you go.
And because of that, it was right around that time, the late 1800s, he had the first telephone in the state of Arizona installed at Castle Hot Springs so he could conduct business.
The first telephone in the state. And the booth is still there.
It's still there. It's in the main lodge right next to the bar. And we're actually putting in a payphone there. And people can make calls if they want, but it's right there, right next to the bar.
Gosh. Well, I remember seeing it. It had a lot of intrigue to it. There were still some old yellow pages in there. I mean, dating back decades that were just piled up on the floor. When we visited the property, I mean, it hadn't been touched. You had the Murphys own it, and then it transferred to?
Well, it actually, a Wall Street investor by the name of Thomas Fortune Ryan came in for health reasons. He wasn't doing well. He was very, very wealthy Wall Street investor, and he came in the late 1920s, early 30s, and he came there just to recuperate, but having been there just for a couple of days, he bought it, just went out and wrote a check and bought it. And fortunately, he passed away just a couple of years after that. And then the people that bought it right after that, coincidentally enough, I was in contact with just 2 weeks ago. Out
wow.
of the blue, somebody called me and said, my relatives own this place in the 1930s. And they gave me the name, and I had never heard the name. So I journeyed up to their house up at the Boulders, an old woman, and she had a whole thing of photos as well as these menus from Christmas
Look
dinner 1930
oh.
And she graciously let me borrow them. We were making copies of them, and these things happen all the time. I'll be sitting at the office, and all of a sudden somebody will call me, and they'll start talking about how grateful that they are that we are redoing this property. And then
sitting idle out there for how many days? ASU had it for a little while, and there's been 3 or 4 failed attempts at doing what y'all are doing. This is huge. This is going to be so great. We're talking about the rebirth, the rejuvenation of the historic Castle Hot Springs, originally opened in 1896. We're going to come back with more history of Castle Hot Springs and stories about what their plans are for the property with Director of Marketing for the Castle Hot Springs, Mr. Steve Sampson, right after this.